You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome into the middle of the week. Glad you are here. It is Wednesday, and we are jam-packed with a lot to talk about. Let's start with some headlines that have happened since we last visited. And there is a big one going on in Columbus, Ohio. One of the most respected ADs in the country, Gene Smith, announced today that he will step down at the end of the school year. He has played a critical role in Ohio State's recent success and is also considered a major leader in intercollegiate athletics. Meanwhile, Stanford's Troy Taylor can't imagine anything other than Power 5 football. Well, you might want to revisit that, Troy. Meanwhile, if you were here last night, you heard the commissioner speaking out, and the rest of college sports has been reacting ever since. The commissioner joining us for an extended period of time, tamping down some of the speculation about what the SEC will do next. Also saying the SEC doesn't need to be spread across four time zones to generate interest. It was quite an afternoon, and we will have a lot to say about that, as well as talk to Pete Nakos from On3, who followed that interview like many others. Pete, thank you very much for joining us. Good afternoon. And considering his position in the sport as the most influential person, your takeaway from what he had to say here last night. Good afternoon.
Well, first off, thanks again for always having me on, Paul. Pleasure to be here. My favorite part was how he stayed for a third segment. That was cracking me up. But I think that the resounding takeaway from that was obviously the SEC does not appear like it wants to make another expansion move for the time being. And then also, where's the college football playoff stand, right? I mean, it's something that everybody's been looking forward to. It's kind of 2024 has been circled for a lot of people as it's kind of like it's going to be the moment where college football makes a progressive move. And what's it mean now with the Pac-12 crumbling and just college football as we know it, it has completely changed in the last 10 days. So what's the playoff do moving forward?
And on the playoff front, I want to get your thoughts on what you heard from the commissioner. He sits at that table, obviously, and he also talked about how one of his reasons for expanding it a couple of years ago, when it was shot down by almost everyone else in the sport, was to include the West Coast. That's really not a factor anymore. So what do you think is going on once they sit down and start looking at 24, 25, and beyond?
Yeah, I think he brought up the point yesterday that could be really interesting, right? Of the 12 seeds could all have a chance to make the top four. And you look at that, right? I mean, that would really put the SEC in an admirable position. Obviously, you could have some hypothetical of like Georgia 1 and Alabama 2 flip flop. I mean, that'd be a great spot for the SEC to sit in. So that's one takeaway. And the other takeaway was, he did mention about the West Coast expansion, and he made just a very slight dig. I don't know if you caught that too, about when he made the comment that the SEC is such a global brand, it doesn't need westward expansion to grow.
Yeah, Pete, I thought that may have been the most pertinent thing he said. I know that if you're watching it from a distance, you had to feel that sting. On that subject, I'm sure the people in Tallahassee were hoping maybe the commissioner would throw them a lifeline. I didn't hear it. What about you?
No, I didn't hear it either. And I think many in Tallahassee were really hoping that maybe he would come out and say, the president and I met last week and we're still open towards expansion. I didn't hear that, Paul. I don't know about you. But yeah, I think that we're in a very interesting position. I do think the one other thing to mention, right, when the Big Ten added when they added or USC and UCLA, excuse me, right, nobody knew. Like, and that's not to speak poorly about Greg Sankey, and obviously he's going to make the decision that's best for the SEC, but nobody knew till like 4 days out is what I was told about USC and UCLA. So if they are making a move for Florida State and Clemson, which it doesn't appear so, I doubt we would be finding out weeks in advance, though.
And Pete, on that subject, because it's come out now, and no secret, everyone is admitting that Fox played a critical role in the expansion last week of Oregon and Washington. Conversely, ESPN steadfastly denied any involvement in Oklahoma, Texas. And you know, even off the air, I've heard from ESPN executives. I mean, they have gone to the wall to try to make sure people understand that they were not involved, while Fox clearly was involved this time around. Just on that front, you cover a lot of the business aspects of sports. The whole intersection between television and conference realignment, where are you?
Yeah, I think the one thing that really stuck out to me yesterday, right, you broached NIL real quick and how Greg still thinks that's a hill to climb, the commissioner does. And the one other thing when it comes to TV, Fox was involved last week. Like, I was, like, told by multiple sources that Fox was heavily involved last week. And obviously, the Pac-12 commissioner, George Kliavkoff, had the opportunity to take some deals the summer before, and arguably that's the reason why the Pac-12's demise came to be. I think at the end of the day, right, college football and college athletics, it seems like, are really run by media partners these days. And I know that the new NCAA president is working hard to try to get something done on Capitol Hill, but it just seems so the odds of that happening after everything that has kind of conspired to be just seems like a long shot now.
Yeah, and on Sankey, in relation to that, Pete, because you know he did mention that phrase, a hill to climb. It didn't sound like he was giving up, but you do have to wonder, as you pointed out, that you know Congress already was not interested, based on my understanding and your reporting. And with all this, if you think if Congress is going to get involved in anything, they might get involved in the fact that these conferences are literally running ramshot over college education and academics.
Exactly. The one other thing to keep an eye on, I guess, moving forward will be, right, the NCAA held those meetings a couple of weeks ago in Indianapolis. Does anything come out of that? I thought Charlie Baker also made the really interesting decision to come out and make it a comment on conference realignment. He provided that statement to On3, but Sports Illustrated and Pat Forty did a nice job of getting that first. And as Pat pointed out, want to give him credit here, like it's really unprecedented for an NCAA president to make a comment on realignment, and he can't do anything about it, but he obviously understands how it is just really going to mess up maybe his plans here and there.
Pete, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, Greg Sankey was very complimentary of President Baker, but I was just struck by that comment. It just, to me, came off tone deaf that after everything had burned down, the politician turned NCAA president decided to issue a statement that really didn't mean anything because he doesn't have any power. And it seems like, you know, his gamble on NIL has seemingly struck out. So what does he do now?
Yeah, I don't. That's such a good question, and it's something I want to dive into some more. I think that I'm not really sure where they go, right? Like, they haven't really enforced their interim NIL policy very much. And a lot of people have asked them to do that, and they've opted not to. And now Congress is on recess, and I just think it's going to be very tough for a senator or a House of Representative member to seriously think that college athletics needs saving after media partners just ran roughshod over it in the month of July and August, especially when you think about everything else going on in the world still, and there's even talks of a government shutdown. It just, college athletics is not the biggest problem in the world, and it's very clear that it still needs to get figured out, and maybe the NCAA doesn't even know what help it needs from Congress anymore.
No, I'm glad you brought that up, and I was watching the news earlier today, and you know, the big item was whether the Republicans would move for impeachment, and then somebody interrupted the person saying that, Pete, and said, "Hey, that may be a precedent for some people, but the fact that the government is about to shut down again is going to be Congress's biggest issue when they return from this break. So between impeachment talk, government shutdown, a divided Congress, divided parties, and a presidential election, I mean, I don't think this thing ever gets mentioned again in Congress other than maybe in Tommy Tuberville's office. Do you?"
Yeah. I appreciate that. That's a good one, Paul. No, I don't think it gets brought up again much again. I think that it's just maybe we do see this movement now, right? Right, Greg Sankey has alluded to the thought of trying to put together state laws under the SEC umbrella himself. Does that where things go now? Because you're right, I just don't see Congress really wanting to spend significant time on that. And I think that the options are running out, right? And the conference realignment wave did nothing to help the NCAA or Charlie Baker.
And Pete, I want to apologize. I just got a note from a friend of mine who works for Senator Tuberville. We are not supposed to refer to him as anything other than coach. So I stand corrected.
My apologies.
Pete Nakos from On3. Thank you, Pete. Always great to say hello to you. We begin the program with a lot happening. There are a lot of reaction continues to come in from the Sankey interview here yesterday. We'll get your reaction. We have a lot of other guests dropping on by. Michael Bratton from that SEC podcast. Devin Leary, remember, he was at NC State last year and a Heisman candidate. This year, he's at Kentucky taking over for a first-round draft pick. Tequila Spikes later on. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Back, we will continue with a number of guests as we work our way through the afternoon, including Devin Leary, as we mentioned. Let's get right back to the calls. And Doug starts it off from Tulsa. Hey, Doug.
Hello. Hey, Paul, I want to follow up on a phone call you got yesterday from an Alabama caller. And he didn't quite finish his list of being a popcorn salesman. Paul, if it wasn't for the University of Alabama, you would be a homeless person walking the streets. If it wasn't for Nick Saban, you'd be hollering for the yak lady at the traveling carnival. If it wasn't for the Crimson Tide, Paul, you would end up being the Pac-12 commissioner. So you need to worship Alabama just a little bit better. You're slipping, buddy. I'm just telling you that right now. Now, let's get to a serious topic. Now, I thought the body slam line of the day yesterday was when the great commissioner, Sankey, said, we don't have to recruit West Coast teams to get ratings out on the West Coast. Slam dunk.
Yeah, what he said was, he said we don't have to be in four time zones to be relevant.
Yeah, so that just shows you where the SEC is at and what's happening here. And but anyway, you Alabama fans, leave Paul alone. Come on. He loves Alabama. He loves Tennessee. He loves the SEC. You just want him to kiss your butt 24/7? Is that what's happening here?
Yeah.
Leave the man alone.
You know, Doug, I think there is some, and I understand it because I spent so much time in Alabama. But when you're with Alabama, you can't look anywhere else. You have to be OCD on Nick Saban 24/7. And I made the mistake a couple of years ago. I didn't know what to do. We were at the national championship game, and Georgia won. And I complimented Kirby Smart. And since then, I've had trouble with Yahoos like Mike from Kentucky and a few others. And I just don't know how to convince them of my fealty toward Nick Saban without maybe, you know, giving my, you know, slitting my wrist or something just to show how much I love him.
Well, I'm a big OU fan, so I understand, but you know, it's let's dial down the cultness, all right? I mean, let's save that just for Texas A&M fans. All right, let's just reserve that for them.
Hey, thanks, Doug. Appreciate the call. Let's check in with Matt.
Your buddy there in Tulsa just slammed
you guys. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I know. He's a moron. I'm going to take Oklahoma's bus, too. Shut up, man. You're going to be a pathetic team in the SEC. But Bama fans don't get this, Paul. You're not an Alabama fan. You don't have to be. You're a fan of every team in the SEC. Whereas Alabama, Georgia, A&M, LSU, if they're doing good, you're going to support them because that's what you are. And they're such an idiot because they don't want to realize that. And, yeah, he can make fun of us all he wants. We're going to do better this year. You're going to suck this year, Oklahoma, especially when you come to the SEC. So shut your stupid mouth, Greg, whatever your name from Tulsa. Shut up, man. You're annoying as AC.
Okay, got that. James is up next. So hello, James.
Paul, I think that was Doug from Tulsa, and I would like to be part of the official welcoming committee for Doug and all the rest of the OU fans. I'm looking forward to their happiness when they find out that they're middle of the pack here in the SEC. Tell me something, Paul. How many Pac-12 teams are actually left?
Four.
Four.
Quattro.
What now?
Four.
Four. Tell me something. Do you remember Victoria Jackson?
Yes.
You think maybe she would have some solutions for that conference with four teams?
She might.
Why don't they just join the Mountain Sky Conference?
Mountain West.
Mountain West, my bad. What would be the difficulty there? I mean, we got teams coming to the East Coast to play. Wouldn't that work geographically?
I guess so, James.
Paul, you're not in for the repartee today,
well,
are you?
I don't, James.
You're wondering where?
I mean, it's 3:24 in the afternoon where I live.
And, oh, okay,
and
let me help you out.
This call is causing me sleep problems.
I'm sorry, man. It's
Randy,
like this right here. We have people worried
Randy
about the government shutting down
off.
Every.
I realize
the government
Randy
shuts down every 6 months, Paul. That's the attention span of your populace. Okay, that's not a real concern because all they're going to do is raise the debt ceiling.
Well, James, usually you call up and you're trying to pimp one of your books, so I was a little caught off guard today.
Hey, well, Paul, if you'd rather, I mean, you know, we're going to Vicksburg Saturday. You want to fly over and meet me?
I've been to Vicksburg.
Well, I've been there once before, but not to pimp one of my books.
And it was a memorable trip.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm coming to see you, Paul. We're coming to Charlotte.
Civil War port there.
I'm aware of that. The War of Northern Aggression
didn't end well.
No. Did you see the brawl in Montgomery last week?
It would be hard to have missed that brawl.
Okay. Well, I missed it. I was at the tire store when I saw it. You know why, Paul?
No, I don't know why.
You know how I managed to miss it? What now?
I guess you go to a tire store because you need tires.
No, but how did I manage to miss it prior to going to this tire store? I'm sorry, I didn't spell it out for you. See, how I managed to miss it is I typically do not watch television or any other national junk. Have a nice day, Paul.
Hmm.
But he calls this show. Hmm.
But he calls us.
Yeah.
I do not watch television. Is that a new pronunciation of television?
And he's back in his spider hole.
Ray is up next in Indiana.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Okay, Ray.
Hey, did you ever get a chance to watch that American Underdog, that Kurt Warner story?
No, I did not.
Okay, it's still on there, $4. You can get it on Amazon. But anyways, what's the deal with Harbaugh? They give him that 4-game suspension. I ain't heard nothing for 2 weeks. What's going on?
Well, I think it's pretty much over. He's going to miss the first 4 games, Ray.
Oh, he is? Okay, I didn't know.
By the way, did you see the Kurt Warner movie?
Oh, I've seen it about 8 or 10 times. I've been trying to tell people he's trying to help special needs children through the world.
Uh-huh.
He's at about $200 million. He needs to get to about $1 billion for special needs children through the world.
Yeah, I mean, I know Kurt indirectly, but I didn't. What's the movie about?
Well, he stocked groceries, you know, and he played arena football, and they said he never mounted it.
Well,
took him to 3 Super Bowls, but it's about a special needs child in the movie.
Okay.
And it's also about his wife going through heartache. So it's a movie about how God helped them overcome all their problems.
I tell you what, I'll try to check it out. Got to watch Johnny Manziel. Got to watch the Swamp Kings. Have you seen the Kurt Warner movie?
No.
Do you have any interest in it?
No.
Okay. Right. Okay. We'll be right back. Michael Bratton, who probably has no interest either, will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
I think it's been a couple weeks since we've had a chance to say hello to Michael Bratton. We had him on in a now epic appearance in Nashville at SEC Media Days where Cousin Shane appeared behind us. I don't know if Cousin Shane, it's 3:30 in the afternoon in Nashville, so that means Cousin Shane is probably trying to get an early jump on happy hour. Michael Bratton joining us right now. Michael, good afternoon.
For having me, Paul, and speaking of Cousin Shane, we've not revealed any of this yet, but I'll break the news here. I'm moving in next. Cousin Shane owns a duplex. I'm going to live on one side. He's going to live on the other, just so we can do our show, That SEC Podcast, in person every day this season.
Well, that is fantastic. Congratulations. I'm sure this is in one of Nashville's ritzier neighborhoods.
No, I'm moving to the sticks, Paul. So
oh,
I'm
you're
be...
moving out of town.
Cousin Shane does not leave the sticks. I live in Nashville. I'm abandoning one of the best cities in the country just to help the show.
How far out does he live?
About 3.5 hours.
In which direction?
East. So he's all closer to campus, Tennessee's campus.
Oh wow, I didn't know that. Can you give me a minute so I can reshuffle my questions here?
It's going to be a lot harder for him not to show up, Paul, if I'm on the other side of the wall.
I'm a little unprepared to ask the next question, so I'll just say, who you got? All kidding aside, I do want to ask you about what happened last week. And, you know, there are a lot of moral high grounds being offered from the commissioners to the president of the NCAA. As you, that guy from the SEC podcast, watched Rome burning around you, what were your thoughts?
Well, I'm just glad, Paul, that we have the privilege of covering a conference that has some actual leadership. And this is not a one-time deal by Commissioner Greg Sankey, but going back, of course, to the COVID year and all that went with that, if not for his leadership during that time, I don't think I had a show, Paul, because that's when we really started to take off. And now that I realized that, you know, it was not his decision to go out and reach Texas and Oklahoma. They reached out to the SEC. But I think that move was, somewhat of a checkmate to the rest of the country. And we've seen the Big Ten in reaction mode ever since. And I don't think that anything they have done threatens the SEC. And I think in reality, Paul, it negatively affects them. And I realize people, Southern Cal, UCLA, they get excited, that LA market. Paul, I've lived out there. I lived out there for about 8 years. And UCLA fans are essentially the equivalent of Vanderbilt fans. Which, you know, I mean, it's awful. They do not support the team. And since I've lived out there, they've added two NFL franchises. All they care about is the Dodgers and the Lakers. So you're not getting anything that you think you're getting with Southern Cal. And then Oregon and Washington. I mean, the last time I watched, I don't know about you, Paul, last time I watched Washington was several seasons ago when Alabama just tore through them like they would, a spring game or something. I mean, it was laughable, the challenge that Washington presented the Crimson Tide. And, I think Oregon's a nice brand, but they needed Bo Nix to save them. And I think that says all you need to know about Oregon's program.
You know, speaking of that Washington game, I think Alabama won 24-7. The game was in Atlanta, Michael. And Lane Kiffin got fired afterwards because he did such a poor job of calling the game, and Alabama still won by 21 points. I mean, that's in a semifinal game for the college football playoffs. That shows you how weak that program was at the time. Oh, okay, let me ask you about the Big 12. A lot of people are propping them up. They've in the course of a week picked up Colorado, Arizona State, in Utah. Does that move the needle for Michael Bratton?
No. And I mean, what's Deion's?
I know that was going to be the answer.
What's Deion's left Colorado for? Who knows, South Carolina or Florida or whatever in a year or two. Colorado will be back to being irrelevant. And Arizona, again, that's an irrelevant football program. Arizona State's good at once every 30, 35 years. So, keep adding. They can add literally everybody. They're not going to touch what the SEC has right now. And Texas and Oklahoma, of course, on the way here in just a couple months. It's like I said, that was a checkmate move, Paul, and I don't think you can add anybody. I don't even think Notre Dame would much move the needle to surpass what the SEC has. And I've heard you say it yourself. I don't know how realistic this is, but if Notre Dame was going to join a conference, they would probably look to the SEC. I think that's short of that. I don't think the SEC could possibly upgrade what they currently have on their roster.
But hold on a second, Michael, not to be that guy, but I'm going to be. I heard the Florida State president the other day stomping his feet about getting out of the ACC, and I was halfway expecting Greg Sankey to be outside the meeting room offering them an invitation, and that's been a week now, and Commissioner Sankey yesterday, I don't think he mentioned FSU. Where are they?
Yeah, well, they're currently aboard the Titanic, Paul, and they're just throwing a life raft into the ocean and hoping it hits something. And it's total darkness there.
Leonardo DiCaprio's out on the deck.
Exactly. So I can't wait for Florida State, all this preseason buzz, to get just completely destroyed by LSU in the opener. They'll probably lose to Florida. They're so bad to end the regular season. So, yeah, Florida State, they talk a big game, but nobody wants them. Nobody of value. And maybe they can go to the Big 12.
And other than that, it looks like the ACC, I wouldn't compare that league to the Titanic. Or should I?
Well, I mean, we got Clemson, we got Florida State, and what else do we got? So, I mean, it's pretty awful.
Boston College.
Syracuse, right? I think
Syracuse,
they're in there.
Pitt was good last year.
Right.
Or the year before.
Right.
I can't remember which year.
Miami. I mean, they've got a great NIL fund down there, as long as that guy is not in prison. What's his name? Ruiz?
I'm not commenting on that one. He does watch the show. And he's a lawyer. there's Duke.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, maybe you know how these coaches want to play a team in preseason in a spring game. Maybe the ACC, you know, a lot of these teams, maybe they can have some kind of deal with the SEC. They can be kind of the preseason cupcake to get ready for the season.
Well,
that's the only
happening.
Value.
South Carolina's playing UNC.
Exactly. I mean, North Carolina, that's a nice brand. I understand the state you're currently in. It'd be nice for the SEC to kind of put its flag in that state. So I understand that, but they add nothing from a competitive standpoint. And I don't think any of those teams really do, short of Clemson and Florida State. And again, like Sankey says, I mean, what do they add monetarily? And I don't think anything, really.
Can I get to the SEC for a second, Michael? Because I was talking to a colleague of mine today, and we were talking about Alabama, and he said, I think Alabama's got a team this year because Nick Saban's kind of being wiry, and he seems like he's got that swag back, and I agree. I'm all in on the Tide this year. I think they're going to the playoffs, and then I keep being reminded of what you said the last time we were together on the program, and I'm just hoping, Michael, that you've had a good chance to relax and refresh yourself, you know, go graze with Cousin Shane in Telco or wherever he lives, and rethink your beliefs on Nick Saban's current status and where the Tide is going this year, right?
Well, best case scenario, Paul, Alabama exceeds my wildest expectations and they make it to the SEC championship game just to be crushed by Georgia and Kirby Smart's dominant program there, because I'm not backing off from the decaying dynasty it is, and that's why I've got Alabama third in the West, and, you know, I don't even know, I'm not even confident of them finishing that high, to be honest with you, Paul.
Michael, this is usually where I go, what did you just say, just in case somebody missed it, but your best case scenario doesn't sound like that's where you believe they will end up. Did he say? Maybe not even third in the SEC West?
Well, I keep hearing revenge season, Paul. And you know, to a point, last year's revenge tour, maybe it was successful because they went undefeated against Georgia. And maybe that was the mission. Of course, they didn't play them because they didn't win their division. But in that aspect, the revenge tour was successful. But, I mean, it's the same deal. I mean, we're sitting here, we're looking at Saban smiling, and people are reading into that he's got this magnificent roster that can't lose. The supporters of Alabama, they're basing this on nothing. They're basing this on what happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Nick Saban, he's the greatest of all time. But, I said it at Media Days, I'll say it again, Paul. He's lost his fastball, and that's evident the last couple of years, losing to teams with inferior talent. And there are many games on this schedule that I think could trip them up. Particularly, you got to look at these road games at A&M, at Auburn. I think Auburn could be really good by the end of the season. And one hardly anyone's talking about, Paul, at Kentucky, because I think Kentucky could be the most improved team in the SEC this fall. It's late in the year. If they are as good as I think they can, we could be talking a one-loss Kentucky team getting Alabama late in the season. Could be the defining game of the Mark Stoops era there. And as wild as that sounds, Paul, this time last year would have been wild to suggest Tennessee and LSU beating Alabama. And this is before overlooking home games against Texas. And Ole Miss is another, I think, team that not enough people are giving enough credit for. There's tons of landmines on this schedule. I think Alabama loses at least two games.
Okay, so you said best case scenario, maybe two games getting into the championship. Is there the other side of that, a worst case scenario for Alabama if all these things go haywire?
Well, it's a slippery slope, Paul, and I think they've already started to take that slide when you have the number one overall pick and the number three overall pick and you fail to win your division. And, I don't understand why people are not seeing the signs, short of, them finally investing, I guess, in NIL and landing this number one class, just like A&M did a year ago. But that does not necessarily translate to the SEC because it's so rugged. So, worst case scenario, this is absolute worst case. I don't think Alabama's going 8-4, but given what the moves they made at the quarterback position and still the uncertainty, Paul, we're about 2 weeks away from the season opener, and there seems to be no clue what they have at quarterback. And I know they're singing the praises of Tommy Reese. They're bringing back Bully Ball and all this. So, hey, more power to them, but maybe they go back to that old school approach. But it's far more than that that is winning at Georgia. It's defense. It's elite skill position like Brock Bowers. And Stetson Bennett, even I underrated what he did for that Georgia team the last 2 years, but he came up big in clutch situations. It's not just Bully Ball. If that's Alabama's, what they're leaning on, they're in for another rough season because I don't think they're elite on the line of scrimmage like they seem to think they are.
Michael Bratton from That SEC Podcast. Michael, many thanks. Always great to visit with you. We'll take a short break here. Devin Leary a little bit later in the program. Your phone calls right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show Podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Who is up next in Alabama? Hello, Glenn.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Glenn, we are doing great. Thank you.
Great. Thanks for taking my call. That Michael Bratton, he was kind of all over the place. One time he said that they go to the championship with Georgia and Georgia will smear them. And then the next thing he's saying, they'll be the third in the West. So I don't know what to believe. He's just all over the place.
Always is.
Oh, he did. Well, I watched the 2016 National Championship game last night between Alabama and
Clemson.
Let's see, was Alabama, huh?
Alabama and Clemson.
Clemson, yeah, that's right. And they had a quarterback named Coker. I mean, he wasn't great, but he managed the game, and he played with a lot of pride and guts, and they won the game. It was a close game. It was like 45 to 40.
Yeah, it was a one-score game.
I think that's all we need. I think that's all we need is somebody like a Coker or a McElroy as quarterback. They don't have to be a Bryce Young. And Alabama's been blessed with quarterbacks in the past. They got four playing in the NFL. And Saban says someone needs to take the bull by the horns, and I believe in that. And I just got high hopes for Alabama this year. I just hope it comes out right.
Well, thank you very much, Glenn. We'll take a break. Devin Leary, 30 minutes away, the new starting quarterback at the University of Kentucky. We'll be right back. Much more to come.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.